Now, from Hollywood, Romance.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Ralph, Earl of Norfolk. I beg leave of thy indulgence to regale thee with a tale of romance and chivalry. It is, too, a tale of Lady Margaret, the most beauteous damsel ever to grace the face of the earth.
With Whitfield Connor as Ralph, Earl of Norfolk, and Shirley Mitchell as the beauteous Lady Margaret, we bring you Sidney Marshall's story of brave knights and daring deeds as we present The Valiant Lady.
It was on the outskirts of the small, peaceful village of Saint-Hilaire in Brittany that the forces of William the Conqueror finally crushed the rebellious arms of Hereford and Norfolk, the traitorous earls who had dared to wage open insurrection against him. But it was a battle bitterly won and at great cost, primarily because of him whose armor bore the proud escutcheon of the House of Norfolk. Now that selfsame Ralph, Earl of Norfolk, wounded, defeated, but head still held high, is brought a prisoner into the tent of William the Conqueror.
Sir Ralph, the end has come. Thy foolhardy passage in arms against thy king is o'er.
Thou art no king of mine, William.
Strange words from him who was once my right hand, to whom I would have entrusted my kingdom, my very life.
Ye have only thine own arrogance and ruthless disregard for others to blame, William.
Silence! Silence, lest I strike thee dead where you stand.
The edge of thy sword cannot harm that which is already dead, William. You have already caused me to lose that which is dearer than life, my Lady Margaret.
I cannot understand thee, Ralph. Have you no explanation to offer, no words to speak on thine own behalf?
Aye, there are words, William. There are explanations. But to thee, to whom conquest, to whom fire and the sword are the very marrow of life itself, they can mean but little. Yet, I will try, William. I will try. There is a forest of oak in England, William, standing tall and stately in ancient grandeur, where the countryside slopes down toward the banks of the River Wye. On the day of which I speak, my dearest friend, Roger FitzOsborne, Earl of Hereford, and I were at the hunt. We were giving chase to a fine, high stag, when suddenly there was a sharp twang of bowstring, a glittering flash of arrow, and we reined in our horses. The stag was lying there in his death throes. The prize had been wrested from us both.
Here now, what's this I see?
It would seem that the fair beast ye had marked for thy prey, Roger, has fallen to the shaft of another.
Oh, 'tis plain enough to see that, Ralph. But who would dare? If I could but place my hands on the miscreant, I promise thee, Ralph, his skin would make more bowstrings than now exist in all England.
'Tis in truth a most dire punishment ye threaten, Lord Hereford. Nevertheless, I cannot do aught but confess my guilt before thee.
Was a slim, comely lad in page's dress who uttered those words. As he stepped toward us from the edge of the clearing, bow still in hand, there seemed to be a laughing, mocking light in his eyes. A hint of a smile on a face that attempted to appear contrite.
Thou art the one who...
I, my lord. And lest thy anger at losing the beast becloud thy memory, I beg leave to refresh it. Thou hast most graciously granted me permission to hunt upon thy land.
Does the lad's tongue speak the truth, Roger?
Aye, that it does, Ralph.
Then in all justice, let the lad take the animal and welcome.
I would fain thank thee, Lord Norfolk, for thy gentle aid. But such a noble beast deserves a noble board. Allow me, then, to make a present of it to thee.
To me, lad?
A most generous bequest indeed.
Ah, but ye may not think so when ye hear the requirement that passes with it.
Requirement?
That the venison grace the supper board at Hereford Castle this night, and that ye present the first and choicest cut to my Lord Hereford's sister, the Lady Margaret.
I do not understand, lad.
Ah, ye have never met the Lady Margaret. After ye sup tonight, ye may have cause to change thy mind. I bid thee good day, my lord.
It would have been small wonder, William, if I had not been both puzzled and piqued by the lad's strange words. And so it was that when we returned to Hereford Castle and entered the great hall, I looked eagerly about seeking the young page. He was nowhere to be found.
Ah, you seem bewildered, Ralph. Art thou looking for something?
Thou knowest I have been seeking the page, Roger, most diligently. I could almost swear thou hast clapped him into the dungeon keep to prevent my finding him.
Nay, Lord Norfolk. Thou hast only to look behind thee to find the one ye seek.
Aha, so there ye are, lad. I have... Oh, thy pardon. From the sound of thy voice, I had thought...
Aye, my lord. What was it ye thought?
It was not possible for me to tell what I had thought. Suddenly, instantaneously, all thought was gone. For in the presence of that beautiful, unbelievable vision I saw before me, it was my heart that o'ertook my mind.
And what was it ye thought from my voice, my lord?
'Tis the same voice, the lad's voice, yet it... Oh, I beg of thee, my lady, put an end to my bewilderment and confusion.
Nay, allow me to do so, Ralph, by presenting thee to that dear slaying page and my sister, the Lady Margaret.
Thus it was, William, that I met Margaret of Hereford, my valiant lady. She who became more to me at the very moment of meeting than glory, kingdoms, fealty, life itself. For the next 6 weeks I dwelt at the Castle Hereford, 6 weeks that passed as though in a dream in which nothing else existed for me but she who was the Lady Margaret. But as the end of my stay approached, I knew the time was fast at hand when dreams must either come to an end or be replaced by an even more unbelievable reality. And it was upon a balustrade overlooking the fields of Hereford, transformed by the magic brush of the moonlight into a fairyland, that the decision was made.
'Tis a moment of passing strangeness, is it not, my lord Norfolk?
Strangeness, milady?
Aye, thou art a brave and dashing knight. Yet here on this balustrade, alone with me, thy courage is gone. Thou art as meek and mewling as a newborn kid.
I do not understand, milady.
Depart from the castle on the morrow, my lord. The time remaining to us is short and precious. Why dost thou waste it, then? Why do ye not speak?
Ye know, then, Margaret? Ye know of my love for thee?
Could I not see it shining from thine eyes a thousand times a day, Ralph?
Then if ye knew, Margaret, what of thee? Dare I hope? Dare I believe?
Dost thou not know of the legend of Hereford, my lord? That he who presents the first and choicest of freshly killed venison to a damsel has plighted his troth to her, and that she, by accepting, has plighted hers to him?
Margaret, that stag ye killed in the guise of a page, he made me swear to present it to thee. And that night at supper it was accepted by thee. That can only mean...
Aye, Ralph, I love thee too.
Oh, Margaret.
Nay, wait, Ralph, wait. I have seen too many of these marriages of Norman nobles. Marriages arranged by grasping William to further his own interest. Marriages in which the women pined in their castles alone, forgotten, uncared for, by the man who rides to war and to the hunt. Is this the kind of wife ye seek, Ralph? Is this what I am to become?
If thou art to become my wife, Margaret, it is to become the friend, the companion, the sharer of all my thoughts. It is to be my consolation in adversity, my joy in prosperity, the leading star of all my efforts, the light of all my hopes. This is what ye must wish to be with the men ye love, and this is what ye shall be, I promise thee. ¶¶ need to tell thee what happened next, William. My message to thee in Normandy, telling of the wondrous news, was sent post-haste. Your reply to my message, thy blessing, William, arrived by herald on the morning we were to be wed.
This marriage is not according to our plans. We forbid it, William.
We will return to romance and our story, The Valiant Lady, in just a moment. Murder and mystery are the business of Detective Danny Clover, born and bred in the colorful Times Square district where he is now assigned to homicide. Every Sunday evening, CBS Radio again brings you the stories of the people of the gay white way. Detective Danny Clover calls his beat the lonesomest mile in the world, in spite of its glamour, its lights, its noise. Tune in, Broadway is my beat, tomorrow night on CBS Radio. And now for the second act of The Valiant Lady, as we return to romance.
I had forgot thy ever-present fear of insurrection within thy ranks, William. I should have known that news of a union between Hereford and Norfolk would only spell the danger of a future rebellion to thee. Ye should have known better of me than to cross my heart, and thus ended forever my allegiance to thee.
He forbids it! He forbids it? By what right does this William forbid it? Does he forget that it was to our swords that he owed his elevation to the throne?
He forgets more than that, Roger. He forgets that we are free men. That he does not own us, body and soul, as he would like to own all who dwell within the borders of his kingdom. If he were here, my answer would be hurled into his teeth.
He would defy thy king then, Ralph, for love of me.
If thou wouldst but say the word, Margaret, my gage would be hurled at the entire world.
Thou hast my word that I love thee, Ralph. That thou shalt always have. But lest thy words come from resentment and anger rather than from my heart, come. See for thyself what thy defiance would mean.
Ye never were one to leave thy meaning in doubt, wert thou, William. Nay, there was no mistaking the meaning of that solid ring of steel, of armored man and horse, of lance and sword and buckler that surrounded Hereford Castle.
There, Ralph, is what faces thee if we are wed. The armed might of William the Conqueror.
Aye. What Margaret says is truth, Ralph. Could mean open rebellion. Insurrection against thy king with thy head on a stake as its almost inevitable end.
What dost thou say now, Ralph?
I can only say this, Margaret. For love of thee, I would fling my gage were the odds a thousandfold as great. But the decision is not mine alone to make. 'Tis thy heart that must supply the final answer.
Then let my heart answer thus. I will be thy consolation in adversity, thy joy in prosperity, the leading star of all thy efforts, the light of all thy hopes. This I promise thee.
We were in the tiny chapel of Hereford Castle, wed to the accompaniment of the clangor of arms being readied for battle. Wed knowing full well that our future together might be o'er before it began. The simple ceremony was soon completed, and even as we left the chapel, a fully armed and richly caparisoned knight rode boldly forth from the ranks opposed to us and approached the castle. The device upon his shield marked him plainly, William, as thy brother, Odo of Bayeux, attesting full well as to the import placed by thee upon this affair. He crossed the drawbridge and reined up before the portcullis. I was there to meet him.
Thou hast received thy king's command, Sir Ralph.
I have been informed of William's wishes, aye, Sir Odo.
And thy reply to them?
Tell William that those within these walls owe no fealty to tyrants. No word or deed of his could have prevented the uniting of the houses of Hereford and Norfolk.
By those words thou hast condemned thyself as traitor, Sir Ralph. I give thee 1 hour to surrender thy person. At the end of that time, my trumpets shall sound the charge. Hereford Castle and all within it shall be destroyed.
That hour was spent in disposing our meager forces as best we could. Then there was naught else to do but wait. I stood there on the battlements, knowing full well that one day, two, three, and the struggle would be o'er.
Courage, my darling, courage.
Margaret, these battlements are no place for... Margaret, that suit of mail, the longbow in thy hand, what is the meaning of this?
Well, surely it is clear to thee, Ralph. The strength of every arm shall be needed. I can send a shaft as straight and true as any yeoman here.
Nay, Margaret, this cannot be. I cannot allow thee to imperil thy life here.
Ah, hast thou forgot so soon then, Ralph?
Forgot?
The words that were uttered upon these selfsame battlements in the moonlight not so long ago. Thy wife was to be thy friend, thy companion, the sharer in all...
They were not meant for times such as these, Margaret.
One does not pick and choose the times when one shall be a wife and not be... It is not a question of whether I should be here or not. Here is where I must be.
Nay, Margaret, nay, thou dost not know this bloody butcher, Odo. He would as lief...
Our work is about to begin. Courage, my darling, courage.
A ring of gleaming steel surrounding Hereford began to come alive and to move with doom-filled certainty toward our walls. The sunlight danced gaily on deadly sword and mace and lance. Ever tighter became that steel ring. Ever more swiftly it closed around us, spiked and deadly as the embrace of the Iron Maiden. And then it was upon us. With no time for thought, for wonder, for fear then. Only time to beat down one furious assault before the next wave was moving for the attack. But always beside me was the calm, steady twang of a bowstring, sending shaft after shaft with deadly aim. And always within me was the calm, steady voice that kept repeating,
"Courage, my darling, courage."
It was only with the coming of the night that the battle ceased. We scarce had time to count the fearful toll amongst us when Odo of Bayeux was before the gates.
Hear ye, those within the walls of Hereford, I call upon thee to surrender. Fair terms we offer every man within the walls, excepting the traitorous Earl of Norfolk.
And what are thy terms, Sir Odo?
Life, liberty, and arms to all.
And what of the Earl of Norfolk? What offer thee to him?
Death on the edge of the ditch by the headsman's axe.
We knew full well what the word of Odo meant, and there were none in my command who would even listen. And so the next day the attack was resumed, and upon the next, and with the coming of each night, Odo's terms were repeated.
Life, liberty, and arms to all, excepting the Earl of Norfolk. To him, death on the edge of the ditch by the headsman's axe.
It was upon the third night, the knowledge before us that our sorely depleted forces could not last another day, that our decision was made. And it was my valiant lady Margaret who made it for the badly wounded Roger and me.
There is only one recourse left to us, my brother, my husband. We must accede to Sir Odo's terms.
Art thou mad, Margaret?
Dost thou wish thy husband's head to roll into the waters of the Wye?
Restrain thyself, Roger, lest ye open thy wounds again. There is some plan underlying these words of Margaret's.
It is a simple plan, my lord. It is for Ralph to escape from Hereford.
Escape? With Odo's men encamped on every blade of grass within a bowshot of the walls, thou hast indeed lost thy mind.
Nay, Roger. Ye forget the tunnel built beside the postern that leads to the riverbank. One man, unarmed, could float with the current past Odo's lines and thence make his way to France and freedom.
Aye, it could be done. It could be.
But it shall not be. Oh, Margaret, dost thou really think I would desert thee? Turn my back on thee, upon Roger, upon our loyal men, to save my own life.
Nay, it is more than that, my beloved. It is our entire future. Our only hope for happiness and love together.
But what of thee, Margaret, and the others?
Ye shall be risking capture and death at the hands of Odo's men. We must risk depending upon the terms of his word and surrender to him. Both risks must be taken, and with God's help, both will succeed.
Ye know the rest. How I made my way to France, William. How my loyal friends, whose bodies now lie on the fields of battle outside this tent, took up their arms. Not on my behalf, but on behalf of freedom from tyranny. On behalf of a valiant lady. No word of whom has reached my ears since the night I left Hereford.
I have heard thy story, Ralph. I find it as incredible as thy treachery toward me. No woman is worth the loss of earldom and life, nor does such a woman as ye describe possibly exist. She was not found by Odo in the ruins of Castle Hereford.
She was not found?
Nay. This entire affair was but a pretext to attempt to seize my power for thyself. Its end has now come. Odo promised thee death at the edge of the ditch by the headsman's axe. Such is to be thy fate now. Take him without the tent, Odo, and see that the sentence of execution is...
Stand where ye are, Sir Odo.
Margaret, what means this? What
the... The next arrow shall find your throat rather than the walls of a tent, Sir Odo. Here, Ralph, come beside me.
Margaret, here alive.
The tunnel and river served us well, too, Ralph.
Art thou mad, woman? Do ye think he can invade the tent of thy king armed with a bow and arrow?
It's not a matter of thinking, William. It has been done. Thy guards lie dead outside under Roger of Hereford's blade, and horses await to make good our escape.
Stupid fools, do ye really imagine ye can escape in this manner, get free with thy lives?
What does it matter, William, whether we live or die, so long as it is together? But then one such as thee would not understand about such things, perhaps. We bid thee adieu.
Guards! Sound the alarm! Guards!
Silence, Odo, silence.
Silence, my lord. But they're escaping.
Let them escape.
Let them?
I let them. I would not understand, she said. Aye, perhaps not. But this much I can understand. I would trade my power, my kingdom, my very life, if I could be worthy of the love of one such as she. If I, William the Conqueror, could be beloved by such a valiant lady.
Romance is produced and directed by Fred MacKay. Editorial supervision is by Het Mannheim. You have heard The Valiant Lady by Sidney Marshall. Whitfield Connor was heard as the Earl of Norfolk. Shirley Mitchell as Lady Margaret. Ben Wright as the Earl of Hereford. Ted DeCorsia as William. And John Daner as Odo. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to hear Romance next week and every Saturday morning at this same time. Tomorrow night on CBS Radio is My Little Margie, starring Gale Storm and Charles Farrell. Tomorrow's episode finds Margie and her father making an all-out effort to find boyfriend Freddie a job. There's many a laugh on CBS Radio with My Little Margie. It's yours tomorrow night over most of these same stations. Meet William Demarest and Hope Emerson as the Cobbs, Sunday nights on the CBS Radio Network.